lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Children, you're dismissed. And now we have Dr. Tom Murphy with us, who's not only a pastor of our denomination, he's a good friend to our pastor, Ryan. So, Dr. Tom, would you come and lead us now through the word?
Give me a minute so I can look around and see who's here. That front row is a curse. I know why you sit back there. You know, when I was pastoring, I didn't want anybody to sit on the back row. You know where I sit now? I'm not going to tell you. Because I would encourage you to move further back. It should move up. But yeah, it's good to be with you this morning. And I dearly love your pastor's wife and family. It's hard to forgive him for leaving Granger. I've never gotten over that yet, but I will before I get to heaven. I'm praying about that, so you pray for me. But at least you get the fallout, which is the blessing. This morning, I just kind of spent a little while in the Word of God, and I'm using some scriptures that are dangerous. And what's dangerous is that they're so well known. You can quote them with me. There's hardly a funeral where some of them have been used. And so let me just kind of flip it over to the 14th chapter of John, where the scripture says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, in my Father's house. Where many mansions, if it were not so, I told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, the way you know." And Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father by me." And then skip down a couple of verses, and Philip says to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." And Jesus said unto him, "Have I been so long a time with you, Philip, and you have not known me? He that has seen me has seen the Father." Now, you're Bible students enough to know that this is the night before the crucifixion. You'll remember quite well that in but probably 12 hours or so, Jesus will have been crucified. Certainly, he'll have gone through the trial, and you'll have seen one of the greatest tragedies of all times, the collision of culture, religion, and jurisprudence. The best government of the world was Rome. The best culture of the Rome of the world was Greece. And the best blessed religion of the world was Jewish law. And they all were aborted when they began to cry, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And Pilate stood in front of them all and muttered, "What is truth?" Jesus said that night before, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." You heard that all of your life. I want you to just say it with me. You just got to get relaxed and say it. "I am the way." Come on now. Come on. Come on. Wake up. Shake yourself. That roll that's tumbled off the plate into your tummy, shake it loose. All right. Now, a one, a two, a three. "I am the way, the truth, and the life." That's enough. Now you can go back to sleep. Because you've heard the best thing there is to be heard. You have heard the most outrageous absurdity of all time. A man saying, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Now many of you are scholars of the word, and you've heard what I'm going to say for the next moment or two. But one of the problems of being a student of the word and being a leader in the church is what I call redundancy. If you've been in the church for a while, you've heard it over and over and over and over. But there's some in a church who's never heard it. And so redundancy has to give way to repetition. We have to say things over and over because there are some who have never heard. So we take redundancy and repetition, and they meet together at the price of being faithful in the church. If you're here, you're going to have heard some of this. For example, the scripture says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Those of you who have been around a while, you have known very well that in the Greek, this is a very careful translation. It has what they call definite articles. A definite article means the word the has to be used. Indefinite article is a. So the scripture can never be translated in John 14, I am a way, a truth, and a life. It has the definite article, and it's emphatically said by Jesus then on the end of that, no man comes to the Father but by me. He summarizes it all emphatically saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, those of you been around, you know you've heard this before, but never could an article be more explicit and never could an article be more emphatic than is used here and more desperate for our time. So let's take a look at these just three words. That's why you've already got the sermon. You can go back to sleep. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You can rattle that off. You can take it home. You don't even have to write it down. It's already written in your mind. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Well, when we say the way, at the very outset, you have to assume there must be a not the way. If you're saying this is the way, that implies there is not the way. And the Bible is full of not the ways. My way, Jesus, the word of God says to Isaiah, my way is not your way. Or you have in Proverbs, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, and the end thereof are the ways of death. Or you have Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount saying, enter into the straight gate, and the narrow way. Broad is the gate, and wide is the way that leads to destruction. Many there go in thereat. Sermon on the Mount, you remember that. The Bible tells you that this is it, and that's not it. But when you start looking at the word way, it's hados in the Greek, and that doesn't mean I'm a Greek scholar, but I just want to show off. You put it in the basket for an old man's got to do something once in a while. I am hados, the way. I got to think about that. Now, the way. I'm going from here to Elkhart. I stand out here at the highway on California Road. And somebody tells me, what's the way? We say, well, to go to Elkhart, if you're going in the main part of town, you hang a left and you go down here at the lights. And the guy says, well, I'm going to go the other way. So that'll take it South Bend. That's not the way. So there is the meaning of the word that direction is dominant. You take this road, you'll get there. You don't take this road, you're not going to get there. But there's another meaning to the word way. Edward G. Robinson once was advertising a coffee maker years ago on television. And when he finally poured it all together and got it done, he said, now do it my way. What he was saying, this is the way to make good coffee. Don't you wish when you bought your first computer? I mean, I did. I got that thing. It's the only expensive thing I bought in my life that never had any directions how to use it. I didn't even know where the switch was. I didn't know and I'm not much better now. I mean, every time I turn it on, it does something else. And I flip a switch and it don't work. I've never had anything in my life that I use more and use less. Sure, it would help to have something that would tell you this is the way you do it. And I do. I got a grandson down and teaches at Taylor and has a PhD in computer science. He went to Northwestern, knocked off the degree, came back, and he works with a company on Bitcoin on one hand, and then some days he's up at Taylor teaching kids on how to use computers. I have a help desk that won't wait, for those of you who understand what I mean. The thing goes crazy. I call him up and said, my grandson, I say to him, I hate to bother you, but I need a little help. And he comes right into my computer. I can sit there and watch, and he moves stuff around, and voila, I'm home free. Now, it's interesting to know that all the handbooks in the world can leave me in confusion. Did you ever try to put something together with directions? When I was young, I got a swing set for my kids. Now, any dodo knows how to put a swing set together. I mean, you have to be a real short intelligence. You get the box, you lay it all out. You got the triangles that hold the poles. You got the poles laid out. Then you got the swing chains and you got the seats. Well, you know how, come on, guys, we know how to do that. So I jump into it, and away I go. I mean, just screw it together, screw it together. About halfway through, I noticed some screws I thought were very long. And we got about halfway through, I couldn't have any long screws. My screws were too short. And then the lights came on. And what it really said, you go back and read your directions. The screws and the nuts and the bolts go certain ways. Now, it was a humbling thing for me to go back and start all over and read the directions. Now, when Jesus says, I am the way, he's saying that the way is very clear and very definite. The way, there is a path. This, I am the path. There is a way, and there is the way of doing things, and I am the way to do things. And if you don't pay any attention to the directions, you're going to get in deep trouble. Because there is no other way. It will not go any other way. Don't tell me. I'm my own man. I mind my own business. Just get out of my way. I do my thing. That's the spirit of our time, but that's sheer madness. Because none of us have been this way before. Absolutely none of us. I haven't been through today before. Nor have you. Every human being begins a day that is a wilderness journey with all kinds of treacheries and uncertainties, and we surely need someone who has and is the way. I was working with some missionaries out in the Congo, Republic of the Congo, out in Africa. At the end of a number of revival meetings and stuff like that, they thought that they would treat me. They said, we're going to take you on a hippopotamus hunt. Well, tra-la. Now, that's big game hunting. 2 tons of meat on 4 legs. Now, you've seen these ugly old things. They just waddle around. But they can do 60 miles an hour. And wouldn't it be nice to become ketchup under one of their feet? I mean, they tramp you to death. Elephants, it's just dangerous stuff. So here we go. We start out toward the Lalua River. And this guy's carrying some equipment with him. And I said, well, where are we going? He said, don't worry about it. I know the way. I said, well, there's lions out here. That's all right. Just stay close to me. And I stayed with him. That'll encourage you to stay close. Hungry lions are delightful encouragements to being close to somebody with a gun. And so I stayed close. And we finally arrived at the edge of the river. And out there in the river were 5 or 6 hippopotamus. They're in the river. They like the river. And they told me the story. You only get one shot. Now, the river was probably from here, 2 blocks down the road, a big river, and they're way out in the river. And they gave me this 475 Weatherby Magnum. You women don't know a thing about that. Some of the guys don't. But it's a cannon with a trigger. And it kicks like a cannon. Shoots 4 miles on a level. And they said, well, why don't you take a shot at that tree right over there, kind of get the feel of it. Now, I only was going to have one shot, and all I had of this hippopotamus was his head and his eyes, just his eyes, his ears up to his eyes. That's all I had to target. So they told me about all this stuff, and they said, now you take a shot, and you hit it, and it sinks. Take a shot, and you miss him, it sinks. The difference is, if you get him, in 1 hour, almost to the minute, he will float. Because he bloat, then float. Now, isn't that poetic? On the other hand, if you miss, he's underwater all the way, and he'd be 1 or 2 miles downstream in about an hour, and you've lost it. So Murphy's one-shot cannon, and he's sunk under the water. And we sat down. That's a long hour. I mean, 45 minutes, I knew I'd surely missed him. 50 minutes, 56 minutes, 57 minutes, 58, 9, and at 60, these African natives knew what they were talking about. I listened to them. That's not my nature. I don't listen to much of anybody. Elsie will tell you that. But it's a good sense to learn. When you know people know what they're doing, you listen to them. And that thing floated. And they went with a canoe without, big boat, tied ropes around it, and they pulled that thing to shore, and they cut it up. And I had hippopotamus steak bathed in the water of the Lua River. But I learned some things that are important. I learned you better stay close to the man who knows the way, because the path is uncertain. Anybody who's never been that way before, and there's all kinds of treacheries from snakes on one hand to lions on the other, and you stay close to the man who's the path, you're safe. He says, I am the path. Jesus said that. You have never been this way before. Don't act like you're so smart. Just because you can put your shoes on and cut your meat at the table doesn't mean you're smart. It means that you're learning to survive. We need somebody who knows the way. Jesus said, I am the way. Not only am I the way, the path that'll get you to heaven, you'll see the Father, but I am the way it's got to be done. When I went along the river, the hippopotamus, I didn't ask for a fluger, the finest fishing reel I knew. And I didn't ask for a good glass rod. A glass fishing rod and a good reel and a lure to catch a hippopotamus, that's not going to work. You got to have what you ought to have. So not only do you need to know the way, got to know the way. How are you going to get that? They told me, here's the 475 Weatherman Magnum. The bullet on that thing was as big as my thumb. 4 miles, the impact, it'll kill an elephant, it'll kill a hippo. And so one shot, and he was dead. And I got the ivory tusks to bring home with me. You see, you need to have somebody who knows the way. Jesus said, I am the way. And when he says that, I mean, I am the way to live. It's not that you just exist. Anybody can suck in air and get up and eat a breakfast, but that isn't life. You got to have something more than that. How do you do it? And Jesus said, you just walk with me and be as I am and do as I do. And we don't want to do that. Man, don't tell me I cut my own swath in this world. And look at what happens. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. And the world is in a fallen mess. A little amen would help. Anybody with a brain one can say this world is in a mess today more than any time I could ever recall in history as I read history. Song, I need Jesus, I need Jesus, is right. Jesus said, I am the way. He said something else. I am the truth, the truth. Now, that's audacious. I not am a truth. I am the truth. Can you think of him standing before Pilate and snarling, saying, what is truth? And he was staring at laser truth of all time as he looked in the eyes of Jesus. Truth. I am the way, the truth. That's not a small word. Lies and deceit have been around a long time. Jesus said in John 8, the devil's the father of lies from the beginning. And Adam and Eve both were seduced. Not by just that you shouldn't eat the fruit of the tree. Well, did you really say that? No. He said to him, you will not surely die. God said you will if you eat the forbidden fruit. Satan said, you'll not surely die. And that was the greatest lie this side of the fall. For all since have suffered with the fall. Every graveyard I pass, every cemetery I see, every sob at the graveside I know, goes back to then. Jesus said, I'm the truth. Truth is one. That means I am the truth, not a truth. I am the truth. Now, there's some little things I just want to share with you that you might know, but you might not know. We live in what we call the universe. And usually that word reaches out and grabs everything that there is out there and in here and everywhere else. Universe. Una means one. Verse is the word for word in Latin. One word. That's the universe. One word. That's exactly what it means. University is centered in one word, many colleges, but one unit. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him, and without Him, not anything was made that was made. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. Now you notice the word the says it's a singular word. There's not many truths. He is the truth, the one truth. There would never have been martyrs anywhere if he just said, I am a truth. I'm just one of the truths. Yes, just one of the. No. He is the compact, condensed issue of all truth. All truth that is truth leads to Christ. And if it doesn't lead to Christ, it is not truth. It is a devil's lie, no matter how it's colored and how it's tinctured. Jesus alone is the truth. Singular. The truth. I said it was the most outrageous audacity of all time for a man to stand and say, I am the truth. Step aside, Trump. Step aside, Biden. Step aside, Schumer. Step aside, Pelosi. Listen, Jesus is the way. He's the truth. Everything He says is true. And so this book is not a small thing. You just glance at it once in a while. This book is the book of life for your heart. It tells you how to put the dumb things together. It tells you how to live, because it all points to Jesus. From the first word of Genesis to the last word of Revelation, that book, 66, is only one, because it's talking about Jesus from one end to the other. I am the truth, not an a truth, the truth, singular. But it's singular in another sense. Jesus is absolutely the only one who preached and practiced identically. When He spoke, it was so, because He is so. Which of you convinceth me of sin can only be said by one person. A person's character, aspect of his life, determines the value of the truth that comes out of his mouth. Out of the mouth, the abundance of the heart speaketh. And so we all are only approaching truth. If you don't believe what I'm saying, what happens, what comes out of our mouths, listen to CNN, NBC, ABC, and listen to Fox on the same subject the same night, and you'll get dizzy. And they all say they're not spinning it. They can't help it, because sinners spin things to their own purpose, their own selfishness, their own. Jesus is the only one who loved the Father enough to die for our sins, that He could save us from the stuff that twists everything crazy. You see, the fusion of performance and pronouncement only come together perfectly in Jesus. Every last one of us, no exception, falls short. We say it, but we don't do it. Another amen wouldn't hurt, because that's confession. It's true. But not so with Jesus. And see, the integrity of His life underscores the integrity of His teaching. Whatever He says, He was. Whatever He said, He did. Whatever He declared was so. The only one. I am the way. I am the truth. You see, that's important in a third thing, because that truth is the only thing that holds everything together. Now, if I can get back to my notes here somewhere, this is going to get a little heavy. But you're smart people, so hang on. Fasten your seat belts. I'm using this because I can't remember it all. That's just because I'm too simple. But a fellow by the name of Lambert Dolphin, who was a physicist of renown, graduated, and he was a part of the research team at Stanford University in Palo Alto, California. Brilliant man. Penned this thing out. He says that there's one of the key words in Colossians that we need to look at that gets a hold of what I'm talking about. In Colossians chapter 1, well, Colossians is a great book. Oh, my. Gospel of John and Colossians. Oh, swallow them alive. Here is Colossians. Listen to this. Listen to this. Now, this is, I'm going to read it so you can understand. Listen to this. This is what Paul said. Jesus, I put the word in, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. That's number one man. For by him all things were created. Now listen to this. This gets wild. You think of creation on planet Earth. No, he doesn't say that. No. All things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things. Now cinch your seatbelt. This is dynamite. All things were created for him and by him, and in him all things hold together. One truth. Everything holds together around universe. One word. All things hold together around one truth. Throw that truth aside and everything falls apart. That is the inevitable truth. Now, Lambert goes on. This man who's a physicist, and he takes the atom, which is one of the smallest things that you and I know anything about. And he says it's got four basic forces. Now, I'm not going to that. That holds them together. But there's an exterior force that holds an atom together without which it cannot stay together. It's an invisible force. They do not know what it is, but it holds an atom together. And if that power were not there, strong force that binds a nuclear part together, the effective force, everything would fall apart, literally. And he goes on to say this. If that force is not present, everything on all the world would explode into a nuclear flame. Every atom would explode. You're made of trillions and quadrillions of atoms. You, me, well, everything is atoms. That force that holds all the atomic structure of all the universe together is the hand of God. The truth of the Lord Jesus, I am the truth. I'm holding everything together by, the scripture says, by the word of my power. Peter got a wind of that. And when he was describing the end of time, he said that there will come a day when God will relax his grip and everything will be consumed in flames. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth. That's what it says in 2 Peter. It's going to happen. God's going to relax his grip. You don't have to wait till the end of time. Stay with me. Romans chapter 1 talks about how people sin and God gives them over, gives them up. They sin and sin and it gets blacker and blacker and he gives them up. And the climax of the last half of chapter 1 in Romans is when men and women and everything goes, there's no moral structure, everything is garbage, the whole human race has gone to pot, and God gives them over. He relaxes his hand, and the whole shebang collapses. Look at Washington. The world in our hand is collapsing. We've gotten rid of Jesus, and he stands back and be my guest. You want to live in a world without love and law? Be my guest. You don't want the word of God? Be my guest. I'll step back and listen, let you have at it. And so the Democrats and Republicans, people screaming at each other, races tearing at one another. All the world is coming unhinged. Jesus is the truth. I am the way, the truth, I'm the life. Now you know, Genesis chapter 1 tells you where life begins. Yes and no. You just read Colossians chapter 1. It talks about the powers, the creatures, the universe. Genesis 1 and 2 talks about life on planet Earth, but there's life before life. If you think about it, where did the devil come from? He appears in the garden. Nobody says a thing about it. He's just there. You have to read the whole Bible to begin to find out what really went on. And those of you who read the Bible know what happened. I'm going into that. It's another story. But what is true is there was a day when there were no angels. There was a day there was no heaven. There was a day when there were no creatures before the throne. There was no throne. Only God himself is the I am that I am. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit alone are eternal. Nothing else. Time and space isn't eternal. Light, as we know it in this world, is not eternal. Just the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, inextricably bound together in unity, one God in three persons. Before anything, there came a moment when God said, let it begin. And God creates heaven, angels, archangels, creatures before the throne room of heaven, streets of gold, on and on it goes. Then God creates man. The angels sing. Job 38. They morning stars sang together when God set the foundations of the earth. Read it. I'm not whistling something that's not there. I'm just saying that the God of heaven's life is where it all is. You have cosmic life. We'll talk about heaven and all that. And God breathed that into man. He became a living soul. On the fifth day, he creates creatures that swim and so forth. The sixth day, he creates creatures on the earth that crawl about, and the last of which was man. And he breathes into man, and man becomes a living soul that's different than anything else. And when God said, you have a life in you that's my life, I breathe in you my breath, you're unique in all life that is. So the other end from creation, he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. He will die, but he will die forever. But those who knew Jesus Christ as their Savior and the Lord, they're alive forevermore. Jesus said it to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth me shall never die. I passed cornfields on my way over here this morning. Oh, I love to watch them take that stuff in. Man, they got corn pickers like you can't imagine. I mean, 150 acres went out in probably 3 hours. It was amazing. And they threw all the stuff back in the field except the corn. What matters, God gathers. And you matter. And because you matter, Jesus died on the cross to save you. God so loved the world. Not the trees and chains fall. Not the streams that roll. Not the lakes that flow. No, he didn't die for that. He died for you. He died for me, that we might have life in him. There is no life apart from him. He is the life. And that you are more alive, the closer you are to him, you're more alive, the more you have in him, the more alive you are, you walk in him. It's inextricable. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Man, if you cheat on Jesus, you're slashing the wrists of your soul and committing eternal suicide out of your mind. Christ knocks on the door of your heart, he pounds on the door of your heart and says, let me in. He says, walk with me, talk with me, and I'll tell you I'm your own. This business of Jesus is the most critical thing in all time and eternity. And our nation is going to hell because it's thrown Jesus back upon the cross and said he doesn't matter. And the church is not too far behind. We don't care about the presence. We come and run through our little songs and stuff. Listen, friends, we've got to have his presence here. I'm talking about something so real you can't even breathe. You don't just come to church and sing songs and shake hands. No, 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 no. You're coming into the presence of him who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Well, man's got to quit. But just begin. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And you cannot cut those apart. They are tied together. And they cannot be severed asunder. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And you can't have one with all the others. He that knows Christ is on the road to glory. And he that does not know Christ, the Bible says the wrath of God rests on him. Ran across this story, and I'll be done. A sheikh in the Middle East had a huge amount of money. He had oil wells and had vast thousands and thousands and thousands of acres and oil wells and palaces, and he just had it marvelous. He got old and he had a faithful servant, and he had a son that he loved dearly, but he knew more than his dad, and he was going to see the world. Don't tell me what to do. I'm going to go out there and cut my own path, find my own way, and truths aren't absolute. No, no, no. Every man's right in his own eyes. I'm going out and have a good time. The father was grieved. He was absolutely grieved. And the kid disappeared over the hill. The father pulled his servant aside and said, now look, I'm old. I'm going to die. I have all these estates, huge amounts. And this is all yours too. He said this to his servant. I give this all to you. Everything I have, all the oil wells, the thousands of acres, the palaces and properties, lakes and rivers. I'm going to give it all to you. With one thing, if my son ever comes home, you give him one choice. Have one thing. He can choose one thing. That's all he can have, one thing. The old boy died. And years later, the servant moved into the palace. You can't imagine how happy he was to see the old boy go. He had it all. He was just, it was wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And one day, this ragtag person came up the road and came through the door, and the old servant saw him and knew what he was. It was the son had come home. And so they had appropriate grievings and commiserations. And finally, the servant said to him, now, my father, your father made me agree, and I'm his faithful servant. You have one choice. You look out there, you see those oil wells? They pump black oil like gold. You see those acres out there with those cattle all over the place? Well, they can be yours. You see all the palaces, they can be yours. But you only have one choice, just one. And the fellow had grown wiser in the years that he had gone on the road. He said, well, let me think about it through the night. Came morning, he went into the old servant's residence and said, I haven't made my decision what I want. And the servant said, what is it that you've decided you want? And the lad turned to the servant and said, I just want one thing, and that is I want you. And when he had him, he had it all. And when you have Jesus, you have it all. And without him, let's pray. Jesus, there's no way in the world I can say things that ought to be said the way they should be said. I just stumble around. And oh, Holy Spirit, only you can make people hear. You only can give us ears. The Bible's full of the fact that people have ears to hear and don't hear. They have eyes to see and they don't see. And their hearts are stubborn and their necks are hardened. And it's not just outside the church, inside the church. The Pharisees were so religious and they're so lost. And in our churches today, half the people are lost. And the other half is about half backslidden. We would pray. Lord, you who pound on the door of your church in Revelation 3, would pound on the door of our hearts. If we got serious with Jesus, you, Lord Jesus, oh, you're all in all in all in all we ever want and need and must have. Come and your people bless and give your word success, Spirit of holiness, on us descend. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen.
Would you please stand? Legends. thank you, Lord, that we can give our whole lives to you and that you will bless it. And yes, there will be trials along the way, but giving you our whole lives is why we're here. I pray that you would be with us as we go throughout this day. In your name we pray. Amen. Let me speak this blessing to you. In light of his sovereignty and mercy, and by his strength, may we trust in God unwaveringly. Remind yourself of his steadfast love and walk in his ways. May God be glorified in the lives of his people.